Dan from LA and Palm Springs. Not sure where you're at right now, but one of those two will share his experience, strength, and hope. So excited to see you and hear you, Dan. And how would you, Denise is going to be our timer, and so kind of look for her. And just note at the end of our meeting or at the end of your share, I'll ask for a topic. So if you want to keep that in mind as you share, that would be wonderful. So good to see you.
Good to see you, Sally. Hi, everybody. I'm Dan. I'm a recovering anorexic.
Hey, Dan. Sorry, before you start, how would you pick your time?
Hi, Denise. Could I have 5-5 and 2 or 5-5 and then when it's over?
The end?
Yeah, 5-5 okay, sure. The end.
All right.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank Dina for asking me to share. Thanks, and it's good to be here. I love this meeting. I haven't been here in a while. I'll just share my stories. I mean, I just celebrated 27 years of abstinence in April, and I can't really describe the healing journey that I've been on as a result of getting into recovery when I was 25 in 1995. I can't, but I will say that my life is just, it's beyond my wildest dreams, and it's I'm 10 times removed from the person I was when I first came to OA. I mean, I've just grown so much, and I've healed so much. And you know, I grew up in a very abusive household, and I didn't know that I turned to anorexia when I did. I just suddenly felt so guilty about eating, and I felt so guilty about all my human appetites, and I just remember feeling what it was like. I mean, I just want to say I know I turn to anorexia today as a way of both surviving the abuse I suffered as a child and as a way of being loyal to that abuse and kind of continuing the abuse inside of myself. That's really how I see anorexia. I also see anorexia as a life disorder, that it really isn't a food disorder. It was the way I lived my life. It was the way I shut myself down and kept myself out of life. And I've heard compulsive overeaters talk about how their weight and their food obsession, and bulimics talk about how their binging and purging behaviors was their way of like shrinking away from life and getting away from life and keeping people and life at bay. And that's exactly what my anorexia served. You know, people would ask me to go to parties or go out on the town, and I would say, oh, I need to go home and take care of myself. I can't. And by taking care of myself, that meant going home and being alone and eating raw beets for dinner. And it was all about purity. It was a monastic life, a false sense of spirituality. I really believed I was being spiritual when I was denying my human appetites and my human desires. And it just made my life smaller and smaller and smaller, and my body smaller and smaller and smaller. And again, I've heard anorexics say this, and I want to say it too. I really came upon my anorexia honestly. And what that means is I really wasn't trying to get skinny. I wasn't trying to, you know, look a certain way. I just didn't want to feel guilty about eating. And my honest solution to not feeling guilty was to eat less food, and then eat less food, and then eat less food. And in order to maintain that sense of guiltlessness, I had to keep eating less and less and less. And it was when, you know, a really long story, but I don't have time to tell it here, where a friend of mine kind of confronted me and, you know, told me that she was like, you know, I think you're about to die. And I got defensive, as many anorexics do. And in that conversation, I was able to question. And I had been in OA. I came to OA for the second time at 25, and I was working the steps. And the most important thing, yes, I was working the steps, and I believe in the steps, and I work the steps, and I have a sponsor, and I sponsor people through the steps. But, you know, I'm going to say something a little controversial. There's a saying in the meetings, and I'm so sorry. I'm sure some people say it. I love you all. Please don't be offended. Where people say, relief is in the meetings and recovery is in the steps. And I have a kind of a problem with that. And the reason I have a problem with that is not because I don't believe that recovery is in the steps, because I do believe recovery is in the steps. But I believe coming to meetings and sharing the truth about who I am and letting people see who I am and seeing others for who they are, that is the steps. That is surrender. And I have had sponsees, good, perfect little anorexic sponsees who just want to work the steps and they just want to go through the book and they just want to do the writing. And I'm like, yeah, and you need to go to 4 meetings a week and you need to share at every meeting and you need to get to know people. So it's both. And that's what I did. I came to OA and I started telling the truth about my life. Slowly but surely started telling the truth about my life, and I started to get in touch with the truth of my pain. I was 25 years old. My hair was falling out. I was 125 pounds. I'm 6'5". I was on death's door thinking that I was eating too much food. And that distortion didn't just happen because I wanted to be skinny. That was the result of incredible pain and incredible abuse that I would not have gotten in touch with sitting in a room doing writing assignments. So, yeah, I work the steps. I still work the steps. And I go to a lot of meetings and I make calls. And my first 3 years of recovery, I was calling people after every meal. I feel fat. I feel guilty. I feel like I ate, I feel like I had 3 chips too many. I feel like I ate this too many. I feel like I ate that too many. Constant guilt about food. And the only way I could have kept eating and stayed abstinent was by calling people. And that was acting on the first step. If I'm powerless enough to pick up the phone, I'm proving that I'm working the first step. When I first came back to OA, right before I came back to OA for the second time, I remember saying to my higher power, please don't make me go back to OA. Thank you, Denise. I remember saying to my higher power, please don't make me go back to OA with all those crazy people. I didn't want to surrender to other people. I didn't want to be part of other people. And, you know, I had a sponsor early on say, we come to meetings, we put our hand up so others can get to know us and so that we can get to know us. And that slowly but surely, the gifts of looking within, looking inside of myself, facing what's really going on inside, doing that year after year after year, I have arrived into quite the lovely, fabulous, wonderful life. I can't truncate. I can't put it into 12 minutes, but I do remember my big first step surrender was, and I'll really say this to the newcomers, I remember it hitting me so hard, again, after like 9 months of struggling and trying to find the answer to the food and the food. And, you know, I went vegan and I went pescatarian and I went meatitarian and I went thisitarian and I never ate after 6 and I ate 4 small meals and I ate 6 small meals and I ate 2 meals and I skipped breakfast and I had breakfast and I did every food combination possible. And it dawned on me, I will never find the answer to the food in the food. And that was my first step. And then the people in Serenity Sunday were like, yeah, the answer is go eat 3 meals. Go eat 3 balanced meals a day and then start writing and learning and talking about your life. And that take the focus off the food and look within, that has healed my life. I mean, that's what I've been doing. And it's been just doing that next indicated thing. Like first it was the food. The first 2 or 3 years I was still learning to eat and still learning to be abstinent. And then it became about relationships and people and friendships and my family and the pain from my family that I had to face. And just, like I said, doing that next indicated thing. And over the course of time, facing more and more the truth of anorexia, that my anorexia is about feeling guilty for taking up space, feeling guilty at the very impulse of my appetite. Because the impulse of my appetite is proof that I take up space. And, you know, going back and really looking at where did that come from? Why did I get to be 25 years old? I remember calling somebody on a message machine and not being able to talk into the machine. Like I would start to hear my voice on the line through the phone. And the sound of my own voice would elicit so much guilt that I would have to hang up the phone. And I mean, I have many stories of just so much just not being able to exist and take up space and not knowing who I am, like being a reflection of the people around me. You know, if your color was, if my favorite color was green, but yours was blue, my color would be blue. Like I had to be a reflection of the people around me to survive. And that is ultimately what recovery has given me. I have complete freedom from food. I celebrate a 65-pound weight gain every day of my life. I don't worry about my weight. I love my body as it is. My body has never been more average, and I've never loved it more. I've never had more freedom with the food. I have no food restrictions. I eat whatever I want, whenever I want. I do still, my abstinence is 3 balanced meals a day. I don't do intuitive eating because I always say if I did intuitive eating, I would eat breakfast at 5 in the afternoon. That's when I would intuitively want to have breakfast. So I surrender to having 3 balanced meals a day. I get full 3 times a day. I have snacks if I need it. I pick the food I eat at mealtime intuitively. I don't have restrictions. There's nothing I don't or can't eat. And that freedom that I have today gives me freedom in life. You know, I don't choose countries to visit based on who has the safest food like I used to do. When I go to dinner parties, I don't give the host a list of foods I do or don't eat. I just show up and say thank you for having me, and I eat what they give me. When I go to restaurants, I often ask the waiter, what's the best thing here? And I have them bring it to me. I don't refangle food in restaurants. I don't control food. I have a compulsion to control food and control my impulses and my desires. And that's how I disappear and not take up space. And I don't do that today. And like I said before, I really have the life beyond my wildest dreams. I have a loving husband and a lovely, wonderful friends, many of whom are in OA. I really come from, you know, the transgenerational pattern of abuse in my family. And I did not recreate an abusive life for myself through my relationships. I know what real love is. I always say in meetings that for me, abusive love, I learned for myself, abusive love is the intertwining of love and danger. I don't live with danger in my life. I don't live with love that's laced with danger. That is not my life today. I live with real love, available love. And I learned that available love in Overeaters Anonymous. My first abstinent meal was a big meal. I won't say what it is because this meeting asked that we don't talk about food, but it was a big meal, a meal that I would never, ever eat. And I ate this thing and the side and the whole thing. And I went to an OA meeting my first week of abstinence. And I told my OA meeting that was mostly compulsive overeaters what I had eaten. And I felt so guilty. And they applauded for me. The meeting applauded. Thank you. Thank you. The meeting applauded for me. And that love that they gave me in the beginning. You know, they say, we're going to love you until you can love yourself. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I'm not kidding. I believe that love saved my life. And it directed me onto a path that has enabled me to truly find real healing and true happiness in my life. And I'm so grateful. I have a life that I didn't have the self-worth to dream of before, and things I didn't even think that I wanted are my true heart's desire today, and I have them. But the most important thing I have in my life is an incredible relationship with a higher power, and I have myself. I know who I am, and I do not apologize for my existence. The true gift of recovery for me is I own who I am, I celebrate who I am, and I can share who I am with other people without apology. And that, you know, back to that phone call of, you know, and I have other stories where I ran out of a grocery store once because I ran into somebody who knew me from a meeting and I tried to talk to them and I started to stutter and I literally sprinted out of the store. I didn't say I have to go, bye. I literally just turned and ran. And like, that was because I just felt so guilty about being in my own skin and owning who I really am. And I don't have that today. I own who I really am. And I'll just wrap it up and say, for me, anorexia is an apology for my existence. And whenever I skipped a meal or denied my desire for anything, my desire for material things, for sex, for shopping, for fun, for vacations, when I deny myself, I'm apologizing for my existence. And I don't do that today. And I don't find spirituality in self-denial. My spirituality is about owning what I want, owning who I am, owning my desires. Self-denial for me is not spiritual. I tried that, and it did not work, and it almost killed me. So again, please keep coming back. If you didn't hear something that you relate to, please keep coming to meetings, and you will hear your story. And I'm probably going a little over. I'll say one more thing, and that is that when I first came here at 25 and got abstinent, I did feel like I got ripped off. I was going to 7 meetings a week. I had friends who were on Broadway, who were touring Europe, who were in show business and getting TV shows sold. I was in LA going to 7 meetings a week, waiting tables. That was my life. And I felt like I got ripped off. And today I look back at that. And the fact that recovery became the most important thing in my life back then, I feel like the luckiest man in the world. I am so lucky that this has been my life path. I have a life beyond my wildest dreams, and you are so lucky to be here. Even if you don't feel like you're lucky to be here, you are so damn lucky. Please keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.